The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. Friends, that statement came from the lips of our sixth president, John Quincy Adams. I want you to listen to this statement as well, and I quote, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. In this sense and to this extent, our civilizations and our institutions are emphatically Christian," end quote. And by the way, that statement came from an 1883 decision from the Illinois Supreme Court. And while that was not a statement from the United States Supreme Court, it is extremely consistent with the Christian Nation decision, as it is sometimes called, in a case before the United States Supreme Court in 1892 called Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, where a statement was made to the effect that the United States is indeed a Christian nation. Gentlemen, I want to ask you all three one question in this concluding segment. We call it our solution segment. With these clarion statements equating the Christian faith with the founding and life of our nation, obviously reflecting biblical sentiment, it would appear to me to be overtly obvious that the Bible is the singularly greatest influence on our Constitution and laws. So what can individual believers, what can more specifically pastors do to bolster not only the Bible's importance, but to convey its undeniable impact on our nation? Sam, I'll go to you first and let you answer that question.
Well, Dave, what the pulpits can do and should do are two things. One, they must preach what the Bible says. That's what Pastors Network is about, is to say, preach the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. Apply a biblical worldview to the issues of life. So practical teaching of God's Word. If we really believe that God gave us the Bible, now those folks who think you can hold the Bible in too high esteem, I'm really wondering if they have a right view of God. I don't think they can. But if one has a right view of God, then we go to the Bible because that's what he's given us. We use it, we apply it, we live it, we think it, we memorize it, and we preach it, teach it in every regard. That's number one. Number two, we have to also, pulpits have to, and parents and others also have to understand that the historical connection to this nation, to the nation of Israel, the connection to the Word of God in these nations that are so close in many ways, that historical fact is something that cannot be forgotten. And this third, understand that those who hate God are trying their best, and they have for a generation or more, to separate Christians from the Bible and God from government. And there's no better way than to say that God had no role and the Bible had no place.
Gary, let me go to you. What can individual believers do? What more specifically can pastors, and you are a pastor, what can pastors do to bolster the Bible's importance and convey the fact that it has had an undeniable impact on our nation?
Well, first of all, I look at two passages of Scripture. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word," this is God speaking, "be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." When we look back in our history in the United States of America, we can see the Declaration of Independence. You can go back as far as the Mayflower Compact and other documents, including our Constitution. There's a very, very strong biblical basis there, and God's Word is that which I believe was used to bring this nation into existence in the form of government that we have and so forth. Then over in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe it." So using those two passages of Scripture, those of us who are pastors, those of us who are Bible-believing Christians must do four things. We must get to know the Word of God. We must live the Word of God. We must teach the Word of God. and we must distribute the Word of God and then watch how God will use that for His glory in individual lives, in churches, and in nations.
Outstanding, gentlemen. Keith, I'm going to go to you and pose the same question. Probably don't even need to do that because you're involved in a ministry that handles the Word of God every day, distributes it around the world. And my friend, I have to tell you this. I was beyond moved to walk into a pulpit every night last week made up of stacks of the Scriptures. The text of the Scripture that had not yet had a binding put on it. You do that every year. You create and make a pulpit out of actually the Word of God itself. So when I opened my Bible, it was lying on top of the Word of God. And then to notice around me on those elevated shelves, the pallet after pallet after pallet, thousands, hundreds of thousands of copies of the Scripture ready to be shipped out around the world. That was a beyond moving thing. Keith, what can individual believers and, more importantly, pastors do to convey the undeniable impact of God's Word on the United States of America?
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate Brother Gary mentioning Isaiah 55:11. I think that should be our battle cry. God, you know, makes some unconditional promises there that if we promote and proclaim His Word, it'll not return void. And that's one of my motivations, so I appreciate him sharing that verse. But I think one of the primary things as believers or pastors, we need to present the power of the Word of God. Folks sometimes just look at it as a book. It's a powerful book. It's alive and well. So then the second thing is we need to practice the power of the Word of God. If they don't see a change in our lives, they're not going to be interested in the Word of God. They've got to see that in those who are proclaiming it. If we're going to proclaim that truth, we have to practice that truth as well. And then thirdly, I think we need to preserve the power of the Word of God. We need to be sharing that and giving folks information about that, giving them direction, giving them options. The world has all kinds of things that they can provide, but we need to preserve the power of the Bible, the life-changing things that it can do. So I think these three need to be done in personal practice. We as individuals have to start there and get that done so we can present that to folks around us. The church has to practice that. The church is lacking in doing these three things. And then civil government has to do that. And we're seeing a lot of that turn, and hopefully we're going to see more. But until we are able to do those things, to present it, practice it, and then preserve it, we're not going to see it be very effective. So I think those are the things we need to focus on to get that out.